Watson, joined by Sarah Lee, and this is the Influence Watch podcast. It might be America's worst teachers union, and knowing American teachers unions, that's saying something. Since its takeover by a radical left-wing militant caucus in 2010, the Chicago Teachers Union has pushed a radical left agenda through numerous strike actions and controversially aided the mayoral campaign of Brandon Johnson, a former lobbyist for the union, in the city. Just last month, the union allegedly used school time to rally students to vote for a tax hike ballot measure supported by the union and now Mayor Johnson. Joining us to discuss the union is Maylee Smith, Senior Director of Labor Policy at the Illinois Policy Institute. Maylee, welcome back. We had you on in 2022 to talk about the Chicago Teachers Union because they were on strike at the time.
Right. Yes. They've actually gone on strike five times since, or walked out on students times since 2012. So your description is very apt. They are probably the most militant teachers union in the nation.
So for our listeners who don't follow Chicago, don't follow labor, or don't follow Illinois, can you give us just a short brief on CTU's history, what it's done since Karen Lewis, the former union president, and her radical, I think they're called the Caucus of Rank and File Educators.
Right.
Since they came to.
Yeah. So the way the Chicago Teachers Union works is there are slates of leadership. So a slate of leadership can be elected within the union. And that is
they're basically like political parties for.
Exactly. Within the union. Right. And they have different stances. But this slate was elected back in 2010 with Karen Lewis. And prior to that, there had not been a strike. Prior to the 2012 strike, there hadn't been a strike for 25 years in Chicago. Their bargaining focused, more on the traditional subjects of bargaining, wages and benefits. But there was this progressive leadership that took over, which was the Caucus of Rank and File Educators, or CORE. And their whole stance is that they are going to bargain for the common good. And if you haven't heard of bargaining for the common good, that sounds like, a nice description, like, oh, we're going to do good for people. But what it really means is that they are going to go outside the limits of what is traditionally bargained for, maybe even outside the limits of what is legal, and push for things like social justice, climate justice, all sorts of things that typically don't go.
This is the everything leftism, social justice unionism.
It's a progressive wing of Chicago Teachers Union. And they have gotten much more involved in politics over the last 10 years. They, like I said, have walked out on the students five times since this leadership took over. At the same time, we're tracking proficiency within Chicago public schools, and that has taken a nosedive. Year after year, students are learning less, or their math and reading proficiency is getting more and more abysmal.
How bad were the COVID lockdowns? Were they really long?
They were long. Students were outside of the school building for about 17 months. And in fact, two of those walkouts that I was talking about happened during COVID because the teachers union did not want to come back, even after other schools were back.
It was the Chicago Teachers Union that posted that statement on Twitter that was something like, reopening schools is about sexism, racism, and classism. That is not a direct quotation, but that is
effective. Misogyny. Yes, that is exactly what they posted. They are also the union who had one of their leaders, not one of the top officers, but post about having we need to close.
Schools were locked down and she was on vacation.
And she was on vacation at an island, I believe, in the Caribbean.
I'm pretty sure it was Puerto Rico.
Yes. So we had, extensive shutdowns. The teachers union has never been, at least this slate, has never been about what's best for kids. And so what we have seen over the year is that CPS and CTU are getting more and more money. But we're
seeing CPS is Chicago Public Schools.
Exactly. Yes. Chicago Public Schools. But more failing test scores. Just one in four CPS students can read at grade level, even lower scores on math. at the same time, the district is actually getting more per student. Enrollment has dropped. So, I think to encapsulate what has happened since CTU's radical leadership has taken over is worsening test scores, worsening proficiency. Enrollment is dropping. People are leaving the district, pulling their kids out. At the same time, the district and CTU are getting more money. So there's definitely no correlation between, you know, how much you spend per student and how well they do within CPS anyway.
Sarah, I think I'll invite you to ask the next question.
Okay. Yeah, I know that one of the, is it Miley? Miley. Okay. I know one of the reasons that we asked you, thank you so much for coming on, was a piece that came on that came out on the Illinois Policy Institute's website that we saw. I think Mike actually sent it to me and was like, "Oh, we should talk to Miley about this." Was this Chicago Teachers Union's Student Power Forum and Parade to the Polls event? And basically, actually, just tell us a little bit about what that is. You guys filed a complaint saying that this particular event violated the code of ethics for the Chicago Public Schools, correct?
Correct. So, a little bit of background on this. March 15th was the primary in Illinois, in Chicago. And on the ballot was a referendum for a tax hike, a real estate transfer tax hike. It's one of Mayor Brandon Johnson's main initiatives.
Mayor Brandon Johnson, former lobbyist for the Chicago Teachers Union.
Exactly, yes. And the main political party that was advocating for this tax hike was called Bring Chicago Home. So early in March, a CTU email went out announcing that it was partnering with Bring Chicago Home, this political committee, for a day of civic engagement, is what they called it. And they were asking teachers to organize busloads of kids to attend this political rally during the school day. And so this was, from the beginning, planned as a one-sided political rally, not civic engagement.
Our colleague Parker Thayer has written extensively on the ideological valence of supposed nonpartisan civic engagement, and my suspicion is he would not be surprised by what you are telling.
Exactly. So, Bring Chicago Home is the political committee urging voters to approve this tax hike. CTU actually at the time was the third largest financial backer. They had already donated $400,000 to that committee.
So who are the other financial backers? Or the top two, if you have, you know.
One of the top was, I can't remember the name of it, but it was actually a healthcare related entity. And the second, another one was SEIU, which is another union, very powerful in Illinois. And there was also in the top three to four, a homeless organization, like a nonprofit. But CTU was a major proponent. So this was never going to be about civic engagement. It was planned as a one-sided political rally. So we at Illinois Policy Institute filed an initial complaint with the school district and with the city's inspector general, because it was a clear violation of CPS's code of ethics. Employees are not permitted to engage in political activity during the school day while they're being paid. And that includes preparing for or organizing a political rally or other political event, which this was. So we filed that as soon as we saw that email and saw that this was happening with students.
Yeah, one of the things that stuck out at me, and this might be getting a little bit off topic, but I think it certainly relates to all of this. But some of the violations of the code of ethics had to do with teachers actually telling students how they should, you know, perceive this or potentially vote on it. So I just went back and looked at a Hill op-ed from back in like last year in March or April of last year, written by, I'll reserve their names, but they were administrator at like Cornell and an administrator at like Hamilton College. And they were talking about the conservatives are wrong about indoctrination. They're wrong that schools are doing this, right? And what is interesting about this situation is that it sounds like the unions are conscripting the teachers to then indoctrinate the kids with you know, with, you know, apologies to these administrators in the help. Is that what it's looking like to you?
It is. And we there was actually evidence of that happening on the day of March 15th when this rally took place. So we filed that initial ethics complaint. Spring Chicago Home was supposedly, allegedly removed as a sponsor of that day. And CTU claimed that that was a mistake. That wasn't supposed to, like, actually have been listed as a sponsor. But media coverage of that rally and then the parade to the polls revealed that there were blatant violations going on. So there was an ABC 7 Chicago reporter who asked a student, did your teachers encourage you to vote for and then bring Chicago Home? And the student answered, yes. So there is concrete evidence, you know, as explained to a reporter, that this was going on. Teachers were telling students how to vote. There's media coverage showing that a leader or a volunteer with this parade to the polls was chanting pro-tax hike messages to students as they walked to the polling place. You know, the typical, we will not give up the fight. Housing is a human right. And on chairs throughout the event were voter guides. You know, voter guides can be seen as something nonpartisan, but in these voter guides was a link to the website, which had illustrations of Bring Chicago Home advocates saying your valued vote is needed. So throughout this event, there were obvious violations going on. Students being, you know, they were taken from school and told how to vote.
So obviously you guys have now filed this complaint. I'm sure it's being acted on very expeditiously by the notoriously efficient Chicago bureaucracy.
No sarcasm there, Mike.
Yeah, none whatsoever. But now my understanding is it is contract negotiation time between the school system and the Chicago Teachers Union. What role is, how much power does the mayor have in that? Who is the actual person negotiating for the government in this?
Great question. The mayor actually in Chicago is a little unique because of the setup that we currently have, but the mayor has an incredible amount of power. He is the negotiator, or his team, his administration
So the teachers union is basically negotiating against basically itself.
It is. And it's something that city officials, parents, citizens across the country need to take note of. Because what happened with CTU is that they handpicked Brandon Johnson, like you said, one of their paid lobbyists, to run for office. They then bankrolled his way into office. They gave him, by the time of the election last year, they had already given him $2.3 million. Some of that was dues, that was not member dues, that wasn't supposed to be used for politics. There was an unfair labor practice complaint filed against CTU by some of the members. So they bankrolled his way into office so that they could sit across the table from one of their own. And we're seeing now what the results of that will be or could be, because we have actually a leaked copy and it's available on our website.
We will include the report in today's show notes, but please give us the highlights.
Yes. So they are asking, I would say they're going for broke, but it's really going to leave the citizens of Chicago broke. They are not sticking to the typical subjects of wages and benefits, although they do have wage demands in there, like 9% raises each year of the contract at a minimum, which would mean that the average teacher by the end of the contract would be making about $145,000 a year in Chicago. They're demanding housing assistance for new teachers. They want housing for CTU members. There are climate justice demands in there, 100% electric bus fleet they want by the end of the contract. They want to be fully carbon neutral by 2035. They want $2,000 per student to go to asylum seekers. They want to remove school resource officers from schools. And, you know, you mentioned crime earlier in this segment. And, you know, we know that crime is an issue in Chicago, and yet they're wanting to remove police officers from schools. And that's just, I mean, that's just a small blurb. I actually have 28 pages of notes of the demands that they are making in their 142-page list of demands.
How? This reminds me so much of, I won't go into it because I can't really remember it, but there was this great Steve Martin sketch from back in the 80s where he talks about having to make crazy demands In case you get caught, you can claim that you're insane. That's what it sounds like. It's like, okay, and we don't want, you know, any air conditioning in the school because it might be environmentally unsafe, and we don't mind that it's going to be 98 degrees in Chicago in the middle of summer. It's just insane.
Yeah, well, they're actually, they are demanding along that line windows that open in every school. And, you know, one of my questions is like, what if the schools are air conditioned? Why do you need to have windows that open if the schools are air conditioned? Like,
right.
Growing up, I had air conditioned schools, and some of them. And I'm like, those windows didn't open because the school was air conditioned. I mean, and that sounds very minor, but it's just extraordinary in this long list. I actually added up this week the number of days off they want teachers to have. And they currently have, teachers have 43 days off a year, whether that's for holidays, vacation.
Does that include summer vacation?
That does not include summer vacation.
Oh, my gracious. Wow.
It includes the 2 weeks for like winter break and spring break, but that does not include the summer. So they're asking for more. So they want those 43 days plus at least 3 more days. And there are currently 15 different types of leave that teachers can take, and they want to add or extend 9 types of leave. So what they're asking for, when you really get down to it, is just
how many days will they be expected to go to work?
Well, I need to go back and calculate like how many, like what percentage of the actual school days that would be. But they're in school. They're actually in attendance 190 days. So they're asking, you know, for, it amounts to about 46 days off a year in the school year.
Not including summer vacation.
And at the same time, which you've pointed out, they're asking for all of these perks, and the kids are, their academic achievement is dropping precipitously, correct?
Exactly. And it like I said, it's 1 in 4 students can't read at grade level. There's even lower scores in math. It's even lower for low-income students and minorities. Along that line, one of the demands is CTU wants to, there are these things called sustainable community schools. There's 20 of them within the city. They want to add 180 more of them.
What is a sustainable community school? What is it before we get into how many?
So supposedly it's like a more holistic approach to education. Like, I would describe it more as like a youth center than a school, where there might be activities after school, activities I saw like that parents can attend as well after school. The problem is those sustainable, well, one problem of many is that those sustainable community schools have terrible academic records. They are performing under the other schools within the city. And we will have on our website this week, if not up yet, a specific outline of the math and reading proficiency and how abysmal it is. There are schools that are sustainable community schools that have a 0% reading and math proficiency. And yet these are the schools that CTU wants to extend and increase throughout the term of this contract by 900%. They want to go from 20 of these to 200.
Is this how they're going to like counter the school choice narrative or something? Like, we're giving you choice. We're giving you these, you know, community center kind of teaching things.
And Chicago Teachers Union, like teachers unions in general, are militantly opposed to school choice. They actually killed our school choice program in Illinois last year. And they're trying to get rid of selective enrollment schools, which are a form of school choice within the public schools. They hate charter schools. The CTU former contract, the one that's expiring, has a moratorium on charter schools. They will not allow more students into them, and they will not allow more charter schools within the city. And so there are a number of demands they're making that will further undermine charter schools within the city. So yeah, this is kind of their, like, we want these community schools. We don't want school choice. We don't want charter schools. We don't want selective enrollment.
So I see there are two ways this could go. One is that Johnson gives them everything they want. And the other is the CTU goes on strike again.
Right.
Which do you think is more likely?
Wow. You know, before May 15th, which was the primary, I would have said he's going to give them everything they want. But this initiative, this tax hike that was his top initiative for this year, failed miserably. 53.2% to 46.8%. In a city that had 70% approval for a progressive tax just a few years ago. So he has a terrible, I think his approval rating right now is like 28%. Sorry, just 28%. So people do not like him. And so, you know, I think it's hard to say. I think that if you look at what the teachers union is saying to the media, they are counting on him going along with what they say. But I also think that could be them laying the groundwork to really pressure him, you know, into doing it. I do think that he has realized to some degree that you don't just make, you know, you can't just create money out of thin air to pay for things.
Yeah, the city government cannot print money.
I mean, I feel like with every year that I do labor, I see new things. And I feel like this is one of those. Like, to have a teachers union hire their own boss, which, you know, they do that.
Yeah, that's the standard government worker.
Beyond the normal, you know, they bankrolled him into office.
And he was previously their guy, literally their guy.
Exactly. But, you know, if Johnson does give in to their demands, Chicagoans need to remember this, obviously. It's going to signal that he's not there for them. He's there for his CTU leader friends. And it's a signal that this is what it looks like to elect a union puppet into the city's highest office.
Great. Well, before we let you go, is there anything else you'd like to promote to our listeners before we let you go?
We have all sorts of information about CTU and how this can affect other places as well. Actually, we'll have an article up later today. Like, other places need to be watching because CTU sets the standard for these things. After they went on strike in 2012, they went out and did town halls in other states and other cities.
There are other cities, Los Angeles, I'm pretty sure, is one that have been, their teachers union has been taken over by the radical faction.
Exactly. And CTU takes credit for the teachers union strikes that happened after 2012. So, you know, other teachers unions are going to be watching. And so other citizens, city officials need to be watching what happens as well, because it could very likely show them what could be coming to their cities and districts.
All right. Well, thanks again to Miley Smith of the Illinois Policy Institute for joining us. We will include links to some of her and her colleagues' extensive work on the Chicago Teachers Union in today's show notes. That's our show for this week. We encourage our listeners to subscribe on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. And if you have subscribed, thank you. And please leave us a 5-star rating. Those ratings really help us find new listeners, especially if they come with a positive review. We'll see you all next week.